The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. There's a lot of guys out there.
And we're the good ones.
Mazel, morons. Welcome back to the Good Guys Podcast, the number one podcast in the world. Don't ask. It's true.
Number one podcast in the universe. The aliens are listening to us. I just saw on TikTok. Do you know Blake Weber? Do you know who that is? Whatever. Some like, honestly, he's funny. I was about to say something mean and like, he's my friend. Blake, you are fantastic. Super funny. Saw on TikTok, he recorded a podcast from the POV of aliens. So they like wear these like alien suits and they like talk about like us on the ground, and their podcast is literally them as aliens. Just thought it was interesting.
That is interesting. And it's also interesting, the idea of talking shit about friends, because there's nothing. I don't think I'm meaner than to my close friends. Like, I'll be like, you know, Rick, you know how much I love Rick. I mean, he's a piece of shit. Like, yeah. A piece of shit. Like, we'll be like, what? I'm like, you know, he's a bad guy, but I'll love him forever. I die for him. But like, he will go to jail one day.
Yeah, that's just because you have to love Rick, though. Those are the friends. Those are the ones that you can't shake. But if you could shake Rick, would you shake Rick? Like, no strings attached. All of a sudden, Rick, gone.
No, because I wouldn't shake Rick, because Rick shakes it up for me. And my mundane-ass square life of just, like, you know, normal 2.5 kids, a wife, monogamy. I need a little something. I need some fireworks. That's why I'm friends with Marshall.
What do you mean 2.5 kids?
I'm just kidding. That's like a statistic. Like,
oh,
everyone
my
is like
God.
2.5.
I was like, you're pregnant again? Can you keep your seed out of your woman for 1 minute?
I will
Holy
say
smokes.
That the times in which, in Baruch Hashem, we decide to get pregnant, we get pregnant.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I think it's me.
It's the Goyish genes. No, it's her. It's 100% her. You never hear about a Jewish woman just finding out that she's pregnant at 9 months, but you'll routinely see like, oh, I didn't know I was pregnant, and I went to the bathroom and the baby fell in the toilet.
That's not true. That's so rare. Yes, sometimes people think they have bubble guts and it's really just an infant.
Okay, but that certainly never happened to a Jewish woman. Agreed?
You took this in an odd direction.
All I'm trying to say is that Jewish women, I think, are slightly less fertile than the average goy. That's all I was saying.
That's wild and untrue.
You think so?
100%.
Really? Please do tell.
I think the statistics of Jewish women, and do not try to propagate this little like quasi anti-Semitism adjacent agenda of yours, Ben. I think their birthing rates are probably on par with most women of all backgrounds and ethnicities.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I'll go and do better. I'll learn. I'll go visit a rabbi. I'll sit down. I'll talk about this moment and we'll see if I can do better next time. But so you're not pregnant. We just say 2.5.
That is funny though, Ben. One day if I ever do have to make an apology, I'm going to be like, listen, I apologize. I'm sorry. And I'm just going to do the same. I can't do better. But yeah. I'll do the same.
This is me. It is what it is. It completely is what it is. Like, we can't change. We can't change.
So you've just had a whirlwind vacation. We're all dying to hear. Tell us everything, Ben.
Yeah. So we just went to St. Barts or St. Barth? I can't get one read on it. It's either Barts or Barth. All you need to know, folks, is nobody on God's green earth can afford this place. This place is so ungodly expensive. That said, you got to treat it as if it was Vegas. You're going to Vegas and you're going with a bunch of racks expecting to spend it on all these hooligan games. St. Bart's you're going, and you're spending all this money on food and entertainment. The entertainment, though, is like live music and DJs and fun and beaches and whatever. But this is the most expensive place I've ever been to. Every lunch, Josh, every lunch for four people, minimum $1,000. Minimum.
Stop it. Stop it.
Swear to God.
Impossible. What were you ordering?
Regular food. Everything was just so expensive because the lunch turns into a party. Like I'm taking my napkin, putting it over my head and doing one of those, you know what I'm talking about. And if you're not watching on video, what are you, nuts? You just missed me. You know, you can't
lassoing.
Even see what I'm doing. You
you're roping.
I'm
you're
lassoing.
Getting a steer, a Jewish steer.
But the whole trip was absolutely unbelievable. Highly recommend. It's the same, it's like the Virgin Islands, like the same water as the British Virgin Islands. It's near St. Martin. That said, it's owned by the French. So it's very Frenchy, amazing baguettes and all this delicious stuff. And of course, I found the one grocery store that had kosher meat on the island. They import it. They import it. All they charged me, Josh, was $100 for 3 pounds of ground beef.
Oh my God.
It was the best. And it's so funny. I said to him, so where do you import it from? Because I heard from friends that it's the best ground beef I'll ever have. So where do you import it from? Oh, we get it from this amazing place in Brooklyn. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Save it, Pierre.
Are you kidding? Are you kidding me? But island was unbelievable. We land. Here's the whole trip was what are you nuts is. I'll give just like a couple. We land. So you fly from either New York to St. Martin and then take a very scary 7-minute flight. Or you fly from New York to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and then take an hour-long, slightly less scary flight. Still scary, though, very small plane.
Propeller?
Yes. No, not the propeller is the 7-minuter. But the one that
is.
We took was not a propeller. Way too scary.
If a flight is under 10 minutes, there's no jet engine involved.
Yeah, no, no. And those
as
propeller
a rule.
Plane, those propeller planes are too scary. Have you ever flown in one?
I flew in one over the mountains of Vancouver to Whistler on a water plane, on a pontoon plane.
Holy crap. For a shoot?
I was there promoting a show I was on Fox. And so they took us out for like this wonderful day because all the advertisers were there. So, you know, they got to show these people a nice time. So they put their cold hard cash behind Fox.
Yeah,
so we're out, we're whitewater rafting in Whistler. It was a gay old time, I'll tell you, but getting there, a little scary.
Yeah. Well, the trip started out, we land in Puerto Rico, and I don't think that we've discussed this. We land in Puerto Rico, and all of a sudden, resounding applause. Like, everybody up on their seats, yes! Puerto Rico! And I'm sorry, what are you, nuts? I can't do it. I can't do it. Clapping on planes, especially the group clap. Once everybody gets involved, you feel peer pressure to clap. Me and Claudia are looking at each other. We're like, should we clap? And we're like, no, we're not clappers. We're not joining in on this. It's not happening.
I couldn't agree more. And my mother, Barbara, she is so terrified of flying. She has a deep, unrelenting fear of flying. How has it presented itself? I have driven between New York and Florida 20 times. I have taken the auto train where you drive your car onto the train. Who knew that existed? Barbara and Josh. I've done that a handful of times. I've driven cross country 7 times and taken the train a handful. So I get it. The few times my mom has sucked it up and taken a flight, she's a clapper. Okay. Mm. She's clapping heavily. And then the worst time was she was prescribed some medication to calm the nerves. She took one and it didn't hit. She took two and she said, well, if two is good, three must be better. She takes 3 horse pills on the plane.
Wow.
Her adrenaline is pumping so hard that she does not sleep a wink on the plane and is terrified. But the moment we land and the adrenaline goes away, she proceeds to fall asleep. We have to remove her on a wheelchair. And then I give the driver $100, $100 tip. And I say, if you please, could you please just make sure she gets to her door at her apartment? Because we were taking separate cars and I couldn't ride home with her.
Oh, my. Oh, so she was asleep. You put her in the car.
I put her in the car. Town car. Nice. I didn't Uber pool my mom home. You bastards. I know what you're all thinking out there. Uber comfort. please, no radio. No, I'm kidding. No, it was a black car home. And I gave the guy $100. I'm like, dude, can you please just make sure she gets to her door? And he's like, happy to. My mom calls me the next morning. She goes, I had a wonderful sleep. That driver, what an angel. I gave him $200 just to say thank you. I was like, oh my God. This guy did great.
Oh my God. He had the best day of his life.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
Hiya. Hi. How are ya? I love Hiya vitamins. They're kids' vitamins. And the truth is, children's vitamins is a scam, right? Because it's candy in disguise, right? It's just 2 teaspoons of sugar, unhealthy chemicals, and just gummy junk. It's no bueno. But Hiya was created as the pediatrician-approved superpower chewable vitamin. And it has zero sugar, zero gummy junk, but it tastes great. And it works for picky eaters. And I don't mean to call out my son, Max, but going through a bit of a picky phase, he does not think twice when grabbing his Hiya vitamin. It makes him happy. And he loves it. And it makes me happy because I know that it has, you know, 12 organic fruits and veggies in the blend. Plus, it's got vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and just many other things to help support immunity, energy, brain function, teeth, bones, all of it. And it's vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, nut-free, which parents worry about. And the best part was my son, with our first order, got to decorate the bottle with the stickers that came with it. So he feels like he did something cute. And I get to say, good job, which I say a lot. But we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/goodguys. This deal is not available on their regular website. So go to HiyaHealth.com/goodguys and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Do you ever notice how, you know, you see all these huge cell phone stores and you're like, who's paying for that? Spoiler alert, you are. But Mint Mobile cut them out, right? They're disruptors. And I had actually gotten like a bit of a bat phone, an extra phone that just my family has. And I used Mint Mobile with it. And I couldn't believe that it was literally the same exact service, but for so much less money. Look, Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. And all the plans come with high-speed data, unlimited talk, text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan. Bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Look, to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/goodguys. That's mintmobile.com/goodguys. mintmobile.com/goodguys.
So yeah, no clapping on planes. We get to the island. I'm only going to tell you about the negative things.
Because
the positives are obvious. I don't need to bore you with the perfect water, perfect 11 UVs. Then I come back to New York and it's negative 11 UVs. I haven't had a drop of sun since we landed. The whole island, Josh, flowing with cigarettes.
Oh, love
sorry.
It.
This is a positive. Flowing with cigarettes. It's unbelievable. It's that French culture. Everybody is smoking from like the 5-year-olds up to the 95-year-olds. They're just chiefing. And they have these beautiful packs of the European cigarettes with the hilarious warnings on them. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course.
Hilarious. I picked up an amazing pack. There's a guy ass naked, curled in a ball. Ass naked, curled in a ball. What do you think it means? They had a slogan in French. I later found out what it means. Guys, ass naked, curled in a ball on his bed. What do you think it means?
Ass naked, curled in a ball in bed. He's got the cancer.
No. Warning, cigarettes may cause impotence. So this gentleman was simply crying naked and alone because he couldn't perform with his lady after having his cigarette.
That's not a good warning, especially because this podcast is brought to you by Hims. With Hims, no, it's not, but it should be.
It should be. I thought we weren't doing that anymore.
But I did it a little better.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing it anymore. Got it. Got it. Noted. 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 Okay. What else can I tell you? We're on the beach, tanning, you know, getting in that nice glow. And I close my eyes and all I can hear is this schmuck 20 feet in front of me talking to two old men about how in 2012, he ordered 3 pies of pizza. The guy offered to pay him in Bitcoin. He took the Bitcoin, and now his Bitcoin's worth 10 grand. The whole time, all he's talking about, Bitcoin this, Bitcoin that. He's educating them on Bitcoin and how he can invest in Bitcoin. And I was thinking to myself, isn't it a bit late? Isn't it a Bitcoin late? Isn't the Bitcoin craze over?
Yeah, it's late. I mean, not if you ask a true hardcore Bitcoiner, they're like, no, get in now because it's going to go to a million a coin eventually and we're going to ride it to the moon, baby. But yeah, it's late.
It's late. And all, like, if this guy is preaching to strangers, he's telling a story to complete strangers about how this guy paid him pizza. Imagine how insufferable that guy is on a daily basis. So this is the guy that I'm listening to. I'm trying to think, what else? What else? Speedos? What are you nuts? These French men in Speedos? I don't need to see your cock.
It's not more comfortable.
No, it's less comfortable.
You're not an Olympic swimmer, sir.
No, you're not.
No, you're not doing the 400-meter butterfly against Michael Phelps.
No, you're not. You're not. And nobody needs, like, imagine, like, I look at myself in the mirror when I'm totally naked and tan, completely disgusted at how white my whole non-bathing suit body is.
Sure.
If all I got was cock, balls, and tush, terrible.
Yeah.
I don't want tan thighs.
Have you ever looked at your body when you're like really in good shape, like you're hitting the gym hard and you're tan? And have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and gotten a little turned on? I haven't. I know that for sure, guys.
Of course I haven't. I routinely look at myself in the mirror and I say, hey, you know, Ben, your belly hang looks slightly less hangish today.
And that's the goal. Slightly less hangish.
I can't, it's hanging a little bit less. It's not fully hanging over the belt buckle. It's just up on it.
You know, when the shadows are dancing just for me and I pull back my my pectoral skin with my arms so that it looks like I have a normal chest, I can't really do anything about the pepperoni nips. I digress. I do look at myself in the mirror sometimes and go, pretty good, Josh. Pretty good.
Oh, that's because you're swole. My man works out. How many times a week do you work out?
5 to 6, but it's also because I'm tormented.
Wow, 5 to 6. And how often are those weightlifting days?
Four out of five at our wonderful Equinox that we love. Shout out.
Wow, so you are really crushing the gym.
Well, and then I'll do other stuff, but like I have weird tendencies. Like if you don't call me this late because it's usually 3 hours ahead for you, but if you call me at around 8:30 at night in my house, there's a good chance I'm doing... I'm doing laps around my kitchen island and getting steps in while listening either to a podcast or rehearsing a scene. For an hour, I'll do that.
You'll lap the island.
I'll lap the entire first floor of my house and get about 5,000 steps in. Because why not?
Because you live next to the beach. That's why not. Why don't you walk on the beach?
I would, but sometimes if it's like too cold at night or if I'm, you know, if Paige isn't home and so I'm with the
Understood.
Kids.
Yeah. Understood. I'm a big call pacer too. Every time I take a call, it's a knee-jerk reaction. I get up and I start walking.
I do that too. What is that?
I think it's ADD. I think it's undiagnosed ADD or ADHD. There's something with it that I get on the phone and I need to leave.
Totally. Same.
Right? I don't know why, but like that's why I'll always look at my steps. I'm like, holy crap, how'd you walk 15,000 steps today? Just a lot of calls.
That's how I couldn't agree with you more. I'm also, I think, against FaceTime.
Say more.
I don't think it's necessary unless it's with someone's in-laws and you're showing them your kids. I don't got to see a big fat face. You, no. Not you, I'm saying, but other people. I don't got to, what, I got to stare at you? Like, I want to do other shit while we're talking. Like, I don't want to sit there with the phone in front of my face and then I got to worry about my reactions when you're telling me about your pyramid scheme or like your third cousin who passed away.
It's good for a 3-minute call, max. Right. But if you're on a long call, yeah, like talking, shooting the shit, half hour, you're also doing a bunch of things. The person that you're catching up with, 100% no FaceTime. But I also hate those people. There are some people that are only FaceTimers that will not call you normally. They only FaceTime.
Gen Z, right?
Terrible. Well, or just annoying millennials. I know some. You don't know any?
I probably know some annoying millennials, but I hear that. But then also I learned from the said annoying millennials, the glory of a voice note, and Baruch Hashem you, that you told me these voice notes are unacceptable.
They're a job. They're a job. They're a full-blown job. I'll literally look down at my phone and it says 2.5 minutes from Josh. I'm like, oh my God. Why didn't you just call me? Why didn't you just call me?
But then, you know, because then I have no control and I got to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
But then you're one of those people who, if you call and it goes to voicemail, it says, I'm sorry, voicemail is full.
Oh, really? I'm going to delete them all now. I didn't know yeah. that. Is that true?
Your voicemail is full.
Great. I'm deleting 100 of them now. I had literally no idea. It's because all of these fucking people, these scam artists, these spammers, these freaking tech folks from India, everybody's calling trying to get a dollar from me. They're like, hey, Ben, can you send me your routing number so that I can give you $25 and really steal 25 grand? Do you get those, these fraudsters?
I just love the hustle of sometimes if you do get called from a call bank somewhere in like Southeast Asia and they'll go, hi. And I'll be like, hi, who's this? And they'll go, Jeff. And I'll be like, no, it's not.
That's funny.
I'm like, this is not a Jeff.
No Jeff. There's no Jeff here. No Jeff. All right. I just deleted a slew, by the way. So when you leave me a voicemail, it'll go through.
I was going to transition to an article, but I don't want to let go of St. Bart's yet. Okay. Couple questions.
Yes.
A, is there a fair amount of vacation canoodling?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, lucky. There
is. There is.
Lucky.
It's nice. It's really nice. That said, it's really, really hot. The second you get there, you're like, oh, yeah, I can't wait. And then as it progresses, it's, you know.
Sure.
You know. You
like
know.
Anything.
So, yes. Yes, a fair amount of vacation canoodling. But it's also very warm there.
Right.
So, you know, you got to balance that. But yes, fair amount of vacation canoodling.
It's like the hotel water slide, right? Day one, you're like, can you believe this? And by day three, you're like, I'm 37. I can't get on a water slide. It's embarrassing.
Speaking of water slides, I was recently at the lovely Boca Resort.
Mm. A
gorgeous hotel that everybody should check out. They have two water slides. And Claudia thought it would be funny. She's like, go down the water slide. I went to get in this water slide. I thought I was going to get stuck. I was so claustrophobic. I looked at the sides. I'm like, this thing's for kids. And they let adults on them. But I felt like the walls were closing in. I zipped down and I was totally fine. But water slides, honestly, for adults, what are you, nuts? Especially, I didn't bring down a kid. I went myself. What's wrong with me?
That's awesome. I would have done it too. Just, you got to do it once.
Yeah, but it was scary. Like, I just like, I was like, oh my God. I was like envisioning, like, what if I get trapped in this tube and they're going to have to come with a crane and saw me out?
Oh, that's one of my great fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went through all my teenage years, like as soon as I turned 18, I went to like Six Flags because I was like, wow, I can finally like not worry that I'm going to get stuck and or die on one of the roller coasters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, I would pull the harness over my head and when I was at full 300 pounds, I would hear,
yes.
And they would come over and check it. And I'd be like, you know, and little 16-year-old Jerry running the roller coaster, I'd be like, it's okay, right? It's okay. We can go. It's okay. And it was my biggest fear that they'd be like, you can't ride. You got to get off.
Yeah. No, that was scary. But also those roller coasters were made for very, very, very small people.
Mm-hmm.
Very small. Unless I guess I was also quite obese. So maybe it was just...
Yeah, but
they got to make more fat-friendly roller coasters.
You're athletic. A fat-friendly theme park?
Yeah, those...
An entire one built for heavy people?
Have you seen those girls?
Each ticket comes with a scooter.
And you leave your shoes at the door, they give you the Velcro shoes.
That's so funny.
Have you seen those reviews on TikTok of those girls? I think you sent me one where it's like the fat friendly places to go in theme parks.
Yeah.
No, but we need a fat friendly theme park.
I also
the roller coaster fits like six.
And each one, like, should we go to each world is named after a fat friendly store. Like, should we go to Lane Bryant World? I'll meet you at DXL Land. That would be great.
The Rochester Big and Tall Teacups.
the Eli Lilly Water Park.
Oh my god.
So
this
dark.
Podcast is too funny. Folks, you don't understand. You don't understand.
Oh my man. God.
All right. You said you had more St. Bart's questions. You asked about canoodling.
There was a fair amount of canoodling. Any fighting?
No fighting. It was a smooth ride.
Because I do find, like, my wife and I will have a great time on vacation. There's usually half a day where we spend annoyed at each other. But otherwise, it's great. And then also, I think, and I'm oversharing, and I'm sure my wife wouldn't want me to share this, so I'm going to. I have realized my wife is not an occasion canoodler. She feels no pressure from occasions to canoodle. She will canoodle at the times in which she wants to canoodle, and there is no compromise. Like, I'll be like, hey, it's, you know, whatever, St. Patrick's Day, shouldn't we? And she'll be like, no.
No Kwanzaa canoodle?
Yeah, I'm like, babe, it's Flag Day. Like, babe, we should do it for Dr. King. And she'll be like, no.
No, we don't fight on vacation. We fight before and after, though. Like, airports are terrible for us. They're terrible.
Say more, because turdy.
It's just like I am, which I'm fine with it now. I am the mule. You'll see me. You'll see me two check bags, two carry-ons. I am like all of this. Through the airport, which is no problem. And she'll say, like, hurry up. I'm like, I can't go any faster. And then this is my number one. She does not let me pee when I get off a plane. And it creates a terrible fight. I have to pee.
Right.
She's like, why didn't you go before? I'm like, I did 45 minutes ago before we started landing. I'm getting off the plane. I need to take a piss. It's quick.
And not only is it quick, but tell me if you're like me. If I have to pee within the last 45 minutes of a flight, I'm going to hold it till we land. So I don't have to contend with that plane bathroom. I can have like a civilized bathroom with good water pressure where the water doesn't turn off after 2.5 seconds and just have a moment.
You honestly led me right into it. I know I've said a lot of what are you nuts's, but this is my real what are you nuts.
Oh, good.
Delta. It's a two-part what are you nuts. Delta, I guess my preferences are all fucked up. I had an economy seat on the way back. Was no big deal. Aisle, loved it. No problem. Short flight, no problem. They upgraded me to a middle seat in comfort.
Ugh.
And the plane was completely full. So I get on the plane, I'm sitting in the middle, the guy to my left, the guy left and right, they're both just snoozers.
Mm.
I turn to the guy on the left. I didn't bother him for 2.5 hours. I said, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom. Do you mind if I go past you? This man proceeds to get up and go to the bathroom first.
Solid.
What are you nuts? I asked you if I could go to the bathroom because I had to go to the bathroom. He then got up. The normal thing to do is get up, let me go past you, go to the bathroom. He got up and went straight into that bathroom.
Right.
You don't think that's insane?
That's prickish. He should have let you go first.
It's insanity. Insanity. I thought that those were like very, very normal human rules of flying. I go ask to go to the bathroom. You move aside. It's like the person when you ask them at the table, hey, can you pass the macaroni? And they first take a heaping pile of macaroni for themselves and then give it to you. No, you didn't want the macaroni. That's why I asked you for it, because it was free macaroni.
I get that. But then again, when I pass something at a big table, I imagine I'm never going to see that dish again.
So, understood.
And I don't know if you savages are going to rip it apart when it's not close to me. I better get mines.
Understood. Size of table does matter in that exact situation. It does.
I love Thrive Market because it allows me to shop from the comfort of my couch. Look, one thing everyone has to do is go to the grocery store, but why not do it in a way that saves you time, saves you frustration? And what's cool about Thrive Market, right, is it's no junk food. It's a healthy grocery store, but my kids love it. Why? Because they make it easy because you can do like healthy swaps, like the things like fruit snacks that my kids love. I can then find, like, we found these great, delicious, like dried fruit snacks for my kids, and they have no idea that it's actually just like real food instead of crazy processed wild things. And if you're looking for low sugar alternatives, gluten-free pantry essentials, I love Bob's Red Mills, and they carry that with like some of their baking stuff, even just something simple like their oatmeal. You can curate your own shopping experience with a few clicks to make it simpler and healthier. And you know, they restrict hundreds of ingredients across their food and cleaning categories. So they're thinking about you and the things that are best for you. So it's really whatever you need to suit your lifestyle. And they even have a deals page that changes daily and always has some of my favorite brands. But the best part is, and are you ready for this? You're going to save a little dough, baby. Look, I also save money on every single grocery order. On average, I actually saved over 30% last time. So save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/goodguys for 30% off your first order, plus a free $60 gift. That's THRIVE, market.com/goodguys. That's thrivemarket.com/goodguys. I've been blazing my own trail this whole time, right? You know what they say? They say, if they won't invite you to the table, build your own table. And that's what Harry's Shaving Products has done. They've literally blazed their own trail because they realized that shaving was crazy because, yeah, you buy a handle, you buy your first cartridge, no big deal, not too much money, but then you keep buying more cartridges, it's killing your pocketbook. Harry said, there's no reason for this. Look, when I ordered Harry's, I got their 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/goodguys. It's all German engineered blades. You know the Germans, they know how to engineer. And they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you would pay for other big brands. And it's great because it's scheduled, right? So you don't even have to go to the store. And you know, I also use their deodorant, which was really good and just $5, and their, what is it? Oh, it was like a redwood scented body wash. And I love the smell of the forest. It's just, I like that musk, baby. But you can do a no-risk trial, so you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. They've got convenient subscription options. So don't settle for the status quo. Blaze your own trail with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/goodguys. That's harrys.com/goodguys for a $3 trial set. Funny enough, I had such a great meal. We need to bring back the segment because we haven't done it in months, but Best Bite of the Week.
Ooh, I love it.
People love it. And I had such a great meal with my good friend, Grant, who is a producer and a director, and he produced the Diane Keaton movie I did last year. And he was in town for some award show, and he did a really, like, a real baller move where it's like he invites the 8 to 10 people that he's close with out here because he lives in New York that are in the business. And he goes, I'd love to host a nice dinner. And everyone, you know, I think it'd be great for you all to meet. And I want to make sure I see everyone. And I couldn't have 10 dinners while I'm here. Mm-hmm. So me, I would host it at Applebee's. Grant hosts it at Spago. Okay. Now, Spago, for anyone who doesn't know, was Wolfgang Puck, the celebrity brilliant chef. Anyone in the know, we call him the Wolf. The Spago has been around for 30 plus years, and it's one of, it could have easily found itself in like a bit of those like cliche, you know, was once great and now is kind of riding the fumes of what it once was. Let me tell you, Spago is as good as ever. It was excellent. And but again, like, he ordered appetizers for the table and he did a gorgeous job ordering. Ready for, let me tell you some of these apps that hit. I love an app. First, there's the famous pizza with creme fraiche, smoked salmon, and caviar. Okay.
Ooh. Oh, that's a bite.
That's a bagel and lox pizza. Beyond.
Amazing. Wow.
But then he realizes that that might appeal to a more Jewish palate. And it's a wonderfully mixed table of different people, different backgrounds. So he orders a regular pizza. He ordered some like beautiful soprasetta pizza, like many things, so many good bites. Then he does a beautiful crudo round, okay? Some scallops, yellowtail, you know, just yummy raw fish and different, you know, citrus blends. Great. And then these cones come, and they're famous for these cones. They're like, it almost tastes like dessert, but it's like a sweet, almost like a waffle cone. And inside it is spicy tuna.
Oh,
come on. Come on.
Oh,
Grant crushed it. It was a beautiful dinner. The Wolf, I said, listen, you know, the Wolf could be here. You never know. We're at his flagship restaurant. The Wolf comes out. What does he do? Table touch. You know what a table touch is?
He was there.
Not only was he there, the Wolf came up to everyone in our party, and I watched him for 1 hour go up to almost every table in that restaurant. Hello. Thank you for coming. How are you enjoying? Can I get you anything? This guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
It's called Spago.
Oh my God. All right. We got to go.
So good.
We got a Spago. Wow.
Yeah.
That is wonderful. All right, my best bite of the week, I'll put it back in St. Bart's. This place, I think there are a couple. There's one in St. Bart's, there's one in Cannes. It's only in these fancy schmancy places. This place is called La Gorite.
La Gorite.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable food. Give you two beautiful dishes. One, a taco stuffed with gorgeous spicy tuna.
Yeah.
Topped with a mountain of caviar. Just unbelievable.
Giddy up.
Unbelievable. So good. Made this beautiful. I personally love when it's like a really, really, really fresh Greek salad, like great feta, great tomatoes, great cucumbers, olives, vinaigrette. I love it. I absolutely love it. Made such a delicious, simple, so fresh and with such good oil and such good vinegar. They just had like, you know the difference between like $10 balsamic vinegar and like a 90. Like,
yeah,
it's night and day.
It's been in the barrel under someone in someone's cellar.
It's aged.
And that person's a socialist.
It's aged. It's fantastic. And then for dinner, they have these amazing pastas. They have a bunch of them. I had a beautiful truffle pasta, but the La Gorite pasta, it's very simple. It's angel hair in this cream sauce, topped with little green chives. I would marry cream sauce. Cream sauce wouldn't marry me. I almost automatically have diarrhea, but cream sauce is out of this world. Like a fettuccine Alfredo, so good.
Could you imagine if a jar of cream sauce had the same warnings that the packs of cigarettes do? It's just a picture of Ben bowled over, like,
I'm profusely sweating, or there's like a blurb above me where it's a moment where you're talking to God. You're like, I swear I'll never eat cream sauce again.
Oh,
you
my
just
God.
May let this pass.
Man,
oh, that's really funny.
It's amazing when a wave of nausea comes over a man and how much just taking off your shirt can help.
Oh yeah. I mean, when you're in a really dark place on the toilet, you got to get naked. You got to get totally naked.
Totally. Yeah.
And like you only like the real, do you like, I've seen restaurants with hangers in the stalls. It's rare, but I've seen it.
Right. For like, probably for your coat, like a blazer or something.
Not for your sweaty t-shirt.
When you're going in to do work. Not for your Zara button up.
Sir, do you have a shoe rack?
Oh, man.
Oh, that's funny.
Man.
You want to get to your article?
Oh, yes. So my article was from the wonderful New York Post. Shout out. Jewish singles flock to Philadelphia matchmaking conference, YentaCon, to meet that special someone.
Title.
God, you're good, Marshall. YentaCon. A convention of matchmakers are helping young Jews make love, not war. Leading Yentas from New York and around the world descended on Philadelphia Thursday and Friday for the inaugural YentaCon, billed as the first Jewish matchmaking conference in the country. designed to match members of the tribe. But these weren't little old babushkas like Fiddler on the Roof. These were next-gen millennial matchmakers, some as young as 25, delivering decidedly modern guidance such as Judaism and sexuality to discerning singles. Whoa.
Whoa.
Yentacon. If we didn't know our lovely wives, are we doing a weekend trip to Philly for Yentacon?
For sure. We have to.
Whoa.
We have to. Sounds absolutely riveting.
It's like BBYO riveting. For 20s.
That's what I was thinking. And they should really have it at Rosenshingle. No Yentacon is complete if it's not at Rosenshingle.
I can't. Oh my God. Yeah. I think I would be too triggered with trauma. Like, I think there's, you know, two types of Jewish guys who either like marry their mothers or marry the opposite. And I think,
yes,
and both are totally acceptable. But I think I would walk in there and just start short circuiting because it would make me feel like I was 8 years old at Shabbat dinner when my mom's friends would tell me I'm too fat.
Yeah. We need to introduce you to the foreign Jews. You know, if they're really saying far and wide, come in, we need to introduce you to a Colombian Jew,
maybe a
nice Israeli Jew,
love,
or someone that's not the typical American Jew, because that, for you, I think it's not the right fit, but you would love a Jew from far away.
I worked in my first movie, Snow Day, with the lovely Emmanuel Shrieky, a.k.a. Sloan from Entourage.
Oh, love.
Who is, I believe, French-Canadian, but is Sephardim, a Moroccan Jew. And she's just, you know, and she was like observant and, you know, like,
wow,
embraced her Judaism, but was also like the coolest. And I was like, Emmanuel, you have really, you know, opened my mind.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is fantastic. Yeah, our very, very good friends, Ben and Margie. Margie is Colombian, and honestly, she was the first Jew that I ever met from Colombia. I had no idea that Jews were in Colombia, but there are plenty of Jews in Colombia.
I know, maybe next year, Yentacon Bogota. 11 people go.
Yeah, literally. Literally 11.
What is
literally
like,
11.
Not that you would ever speak for her, but like the lovely Claudia Ashri, you know, like her younger sister is a single Jewish woman in New York. Like what does the single scene look like in New York right now? Or what do you hear on the streets, Ben?
What I hear on the streets is it's a lot of apps, a lot of Hinge. People love the Hinge. I think that Hinge is really the place where Jews go. I think J-Swipe is where, like, the nerdy Jews go. The ones that are going to Yentacon are on J-Swipe.
Yes.
But, like, the cool ones are on Hinge. Like, oh, you didn't, like you're, like, posturing almost that you're not Jewish, but you're obviously both Jewish. And there's, like, still some mystery there. But so the kids are on Hinge. But I hear that the streets are tough these days. I think that the apps have just made things, it's easier to hook up. It seems a little bit harder to find true love.
Someone from Gen Z here, Marshall, what are the apps like? How's it looking out there?
There's kind of like choice paralysis, kind of to Ben's point. Like the apps made it seem like you're swiping, and someone could be great, but what if there's someone better? And
right.
I've noticed so many people are not in relationships. My friends are hooking up though,
and
here and there.
What do you think is... Is there also kind of like, because it's so much like you can order your own perfect meal with the apps, that everyone's standards are almost too high?
Yeah, I would say people's standards are really high right now. It's like people used to find someone and, oh, you check off like 3 of the 10 things on my list. You're perfect.
Right. Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, if you're missing one thing, what if someone's out there and I could swipe to them and they're hitting all 10? That's the mentality shifted. And I hate it.
Ben,
do you watch Love is Blind, Josh?
I don't, but I've obviously heard a lot about it.
Okay, so I'm up to date on all these quacks, and you got to watch it so we can really dive deep.
We will.
We won't dive deep now.
I will.
Watch it just because it's psychotic. It's psychotic, but the apps are essentially the opposite of Love is Blind, where love is absolutely not blind, and then you meet these people and they're miserable.
And
versus Love is Blind, you meet these people, they're great, and then you look at each other and you're like, oh, you're hideous.
Well, let me say for also just, I know enough to say that poor girl does look like Megan Fox, and the world they're assholes. They're jerks
yes.
and meanos
yes.
and she's
yes.
lovely.
Yes, but once you watch the show, you'll realize she's not lovely.
Got it. I take it back.
That girl is the most annoying girl I've ever watched on TV in my life. And I don't care if it's editing. The people love to say, oh, it's bad editing. Okay, I can only comment on what I'm watching.
Sure.
I can't comment on raw footage that I didn't see. The way that it was edited, whatever's going on, she seems like an absolutely just like miserable, like there, I'll give you one scene. The guy that she's married to goes out to a bar for 45 minutes to see friends, comes back. She says that he left her alone all night. We're like, what do you mean left you alone all night? Guy went for 45 minutes to see a couple friends, invited you, but you were in bed. You didn't want to go, but he wanted to see a couple buddies. He's only 26. He's young. He didn't go on an all night bender. 45 minutes. She said that he was gone the whole night. So clingy, so nervous, so scared. It's terrible. That said, she does kind of look a little like Megan Fox. That stuff was overblown. But, Josh, love is blind. They're talking in these, they can't see each other.
Right.
And you ask someone, what do you look like? If I say, I look like Brad Pitt, you're disappointed.
Okay, let's do it. Let's imagine we're all in Love is Blind right now. And let's describe with a celebrity or someone recognizable, what we think, how we would sell ourselves to that person.
Okay.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I look like if Adrian Grenier from Entourage and Jay Leno had a baby.
You've worked on that. That's good.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's good. I look like if Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau had a baby.
That's pretty good too.
Pretty good.
Marshall?
I'm a 6'2 ginger with acute scoliosis that you can't see unless my shirt is off.
I love that. Oh, that's a match for me. Wow. Great. Yeah, I think that's all fair.
I think it's all fair. I'm just saying, but see, you could have just said Adrian Grenier, right? And that would have been the equivalent of her saying Megan Fox. Because sure, I could see a little Adrian Grenier. Sure, you look at me, you could see a little, I don't know if you could see Vince Vaughn, but whatever. You get the point. Using one beautiful person to describe a mere normie when you can't see what's on the other side is very tough. Because once you say something like that, you have in your head, oh, this is exactly what that person looks like. And then all of a sudden you're set up for a letdown.
Right. But I'm also so cynical that someone says Megan Fox, I go, this person's going to look like a golden girl. Like, there's no way. There is no way that they look like Megan Fox. I'd also be like, which Transformers, Megan Fox? One, two, like, what are we talking about? Megan now?
Look like a golden girl.
Well, this article also pertains to dating, which is humpback whales caught enjoying gay sex romp in first documented photos of whale humping, to which I have to say, New York Post, why are you outing humpback whales?
Totally.
That's so wrong.
They let them come out in their own time.
Absolutely. Shame.
Yeah, terrible. That's terrible. We should cancel the post.
I agree. And let the whales have a nice time. Like, who cares? Like, what a headline.
I also saw, did you see that there was an orca apparently that ate a great white? I read that earlier today. That was like the first known or caught on camera orca killing a great white shark.
Wow. So yeah, a killer
that's a
whale
battle royale.
Killing a shark.
Yeah, battle royale.
Jeez, I'm going to bring that up with my son tonight because we, at night as he's falling asleep, we do hypotheticals and I go, who would win in a fight, Batman or Superman? Or like, who would win in a fight, like a rabid fox or like a starving raccoon? And
yeah,
we could go on all night.
Starving raccoon. Raccoons are fucking, actually the starving fox. Oh,
but the fox is rabid, so it's lost its mind.
Yeah, but raccoons are sneaky.
Have you seen this thing that when you get into the later stage of rabies, you become hydrophobic and you're afraid of water?
No.
And like you won't even drink water. And at that point, you know, it's all over.
Wow. Scary.
But that
very scary.
And that if you do intervene in rabies in time, it means you have to get 8 shots in your stomach.
Ah.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. That said, that comes from somebody that puts a shot in their stomach once a week voluntarily. I can't imagine shooting myself in the stomach.
Ozempic.
Yes.
Well, speaking of the theme parks we were talking about before, there was another article in the Post. I got bored with Disney World after 300 visits. Now I'm going here only 5 times a week instead. Even the happiest place on earth gets old, apparently. But she's still going 5 days a week after going 300 times.
By the way, how rich is she?
Well, she probably has an annual pass.
Yeah, but, oh, is that, that's a thing?
I know they took them away for a while. Oh, Marshall, you know?
Well, I had an annual pass in college, and I never need to go again.
Wow.
How much was the annual pass?
I think it was like 500-ish. And
wow. But, oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I think the one in Florida right now, a day pass is like $1,000.
I just...
Disney's raking it in.
I missed it all. And I just don't... Like, the Disney adult thing, the fanfare, I don't even lightly understand it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you got to go with kids. But that said, I would love to go, me and you, one day, Epcot.
Mmm.
Just go and eat our way through Epcot. Maybe we'll document it, do a couple of mukbangs or whatever you call it.
Yes.
I think that would be a fantastic video of me and you Disney adulting in Epcot. But no rides. No rides.
No, I don't even think there are rides in Epcot. Are there?
No, there aren't. There aren't rides in Epcot.
Okay, let's see. Let's go through the countries that are represented in Epcot and let's think about what we would have from each country. That's fun. That's fun.
Love.
First, Mexico. Churro.
I love that answer. We can only do one. I love that answer.
The problem is I don't know if we're going to know food from all of these places.
We will, or we'll make them up and get canceled.
What would you have from Mexico, Marshall?
Ooh, enchiladas. It's my favorite Mexican.
Enchiladas.
Do you guys know I'm half Mexican?
Yeah, no, that's why I asked.
It's favorite Mexican food. Anyways.
I shouldn't have said Mexican food. I should have just said food.
Food.
Norway, Ben.
Oh, God.
I know. That's why I said.
Let's get the boiled trout.
Yeah. Some kind of smoked fish.
Yeah, it's a trout.
China. Oof. Good luck not getting canceled on this one.
Sesame chicken,
you,
baby.
You fucker.
Coming in. No, but it's probably so good. God. I bet you it's delicious. But look, we're not going there for the authentic cuisine. I understand it's Americanized Chinese. But by the way, the Chinese people also love it. It's delicious.
Do they? Or did we anglicize? Is that an American creation, sesame chicken? And maybe it's not authentic.
It's a good question. Is it like the Caesar salad?
But that's Mexican.
Yeah, but like it's really Italian.
Well, the Italian...
Like we stole it, I'm saying, from the Mexicans, no?
Well, yeah, like pasta is from China. And has been adopted by Italy, but like ramen noodles, which is traditionally a Japanese dish, a soup dish, is also from China. So China, crushing it.
China, crushing it.
Shout out. Okay, Germany.
Ooh.
Schnitzel.
How about...
Schnitzel, come on.
Yeah, schnitzel's good, or maybe like, ooh, pizza.
Pizza, I'm going pasta. I always pick pasta over that. United States.
Diabetes.
KFC. Japan.
Sushi. Would love. I bet you they have actually very subpar sushi at Epcot. I'm not getting the sushi at Epcot.
No.
I can't. Maybe like a miso black cod.
If they had, what they should have is like the Japanese, like 7-Eleven, Japanese convenience store food, like their egg sandwiches, the egg salad sandwich. It's supposed to be
delish.
Incredible.
Oh, delish.
Morocco. Mm.
Some couscous?
Ooh.
Yeah, we're probably, maybe like a chicken with spices or like a nice like laffa, like a sandwich.
Something from the bazaar.
Oh yeah, delicious.
France.
Baguette.
Yes, just bread and butter.
Bread and butter.
Ugh, best.
Mm-mm-mm.
The UK. Bangers and mash.
Beans. Yeah, beans. Yeah.
Ooh, bean toast. Love that. So good. And finally, Canada. What are you going on about? Get a nice coffee from Ottawa, mate. That's an Australian.
What do they make good? Like, what's typical Canadian cuisine? Is it just French?
Well, poutine.
Poutine. All right, I'll take it.
Little poutine, little disco fries.
Yeah, poutine.
That sounds poutine. That could be a nice time. Well,
I'm not going to lie. I honestly, going through that, I don't want to go to Epcot anymore.
I know.
Like, this, all the food sounds subpar. I don't need it.
Marshall's out too, I think.
I'm not flying there for poutine. Like, I'm out.
All right. Well, I'll do my What Are You Nuts, and then we'll close it down. So my What Are You Nuts is, if you listen to loud music on a motorcycle, what are you, nuts? I obviously, you're doing it because you want the entire block to hear what you're listening to. It's never good music. It's either ironic, so it'll be like some 70-year-old dude bumping Britney Spears, or it's like some 80s deep cut shit that I didn't want to listen to in 1986 and I don't want to listen to now. Hey, motorcyclists, what are you, nuts? Get an earbud.
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. But what do you say to them? The earbud, then they can't hear traffic. I just thought of this. What do they do?
They just use one.
Ah, okay. That's fair. Use one.
That's what I do on my walks and my runs. I can only put in one. Or if I'm pushing Shy in the stroller, because also these Apple AirPods with their beautiful noise canceling, I put both in my ears. That's it. I mean, you could literally, you could kidnap me.
You could, for sure. And so if you're driving, yeah, but I hate that too. I hate it. Hate the loud music on the motorcycle. Hate it. What are you, nuts?
Take us home, Ben.
What are you, nuts? Folks, another fantastic episode in the books. 5 stars, if not. What are you, nuts? Listen to us on Apple, Spotify. Watch us on Josh's YouTube, because you got to see the action. You got to be here with us. You got to be here with us. 5 stars or what are you, nuts? We'll catch you next time. Share our clips. Oh, we're dropping new merch. There's going to be some new merch, so keep your eyes on that beautiful link. And we took your feedback from last time. Shirts slightly softer, slightly wider.
Were people asking for that? I've only gotten great feedback on the fit.
I got slightly wider on the XL. They wanted a roomy XL.
Gotcha.
So we're making it slightly wider, slightly softer, slightly more stretch, I should say. Mm. Not softer, more stretch, because our first shirts were very soft, but slightly more stretch. You're going to see that dropping soon. We're very, very excited about it. And share us with a friend. And Mondays and Thursdays, new episodes, and we'll see you next time.
Rate, review, and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Otherwise, what are you, nuts? We love you.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.